I think Colton will hear the word. We're going to talk about resting in his purpose. How many like to sleep? Nothing like sleep. What happened? Oh, I know. Yeah. That's another good point. There'll be a day we will not sleep, that's for sure. I drank sweet tea last night, and I want to confess, I went 35 straight days with no sweet tea. I know that's my thing. And I have cheated since then some, okay? I don't call it cheat. I just call it just, I did it for 35 days, so I know it don't control me, so I'm cool. So I go back to drinking something. It's what the alcoholic says, right? But anyway, I've been drinking some. But last night, pretty late, I drank sweet tea. I was up all night, got about 2 hours sleep. I just could not wind down. Then that windstorm, did y'all hear the windstorm come through last night? That cold front blowing in, old man winter. I heard my window just shaking and heard stuff hitting the porch inside of the house and heard a cat go, "Rang!" I don't know. Anyway, I heard a lot of stuff happening last night. So I didn't get any sleep, so I'm kind of really wired right now. I'll probably be crashing right after service. But there's something about sleep that's good. Now, my wife will tell you, we are wired completely different. My mind is not shut down. Melanie's mind can shut down automatically. Melanie's mind can shut down when she tells it to. Melanie literally can say, "Mind shut down." Okay, it shuts down. She can lay in bed and literally go to sleep at will. I can't do that. And so I envy her for that because she can truly rest anytime she wants. Even in a crisis, and this ties in my message this morning. Melanie can rest even in a crisis. You know, even going through problems and through struggles, she has the Scarlett O'Hara line from Gone with the Wind. I'll worry about that tomorrow. Right now, I'm sleeping. And no matter what she's going through, she can shut that down and say, "You know what? I'm going to sleep, and when I wake up tomorrow, the problem will be there, and I'll deal with it tomorrow." And if we can learn to do that spiritually, to just kind of shut down and know that God is working on our behalf, that we can just rest and say, "God, you've got this. You've got full control of my situation and my circumstance, no matter what it is, you've got control over it." And we're going to talk about that this morning, about resting in his purpose, because I do believe that God has a purpose for everything in our lives. We're going to read scriptures to back this up. We are not by accident. Don't matter how you came to the earth, whether you came on a watermelon truck at 17, whether you came by very detailed plans after you're married, none of that matters. You're here not by accident. You're here on purpose. And you're here because God wanted you to be here. And so with that said, you have a plan. Whether you're 16 years old this morning or whether you're 85 this morning, God has a plan for your life in the season you're in. Something I learned in doing some counseling with Melanie at where she works is I did some group counseling where she worked for a while, a few years ago, a little bit. And there's a program you can kind of do called Seasons. And you ask the patients what season they're in with their struggle, with their addiction. Are you in spring, summer, fall, or winter? Not only with addiction, but where are you emotionally, period? Where are you in your family? Where are you with your mindset? What season are you in? We know every season brings different results. We know spring for Melanie means she can't come outside till June, and I hate that for her because spring brings the pollen and all the stuff that she absolutely, I've never seen anyone allergic to so many things in my wife. I feel sorry for her. She's allergic to everything that God created. She's allergic to it, and I hate that for her. She can't enjoy that. But spring, as we know, is a transformation from winter to where things begin to bud, the grass begins to start shooting out, you know, things start happening. Then you have summer. For some people, summer is your favorite season. Let's do an exercise right here, okay? Just to show the diversity of our own lives. If you are a winter person, don't you stand up. If winter is your season, you're a winter person. Just stand up a minute. Now, okay, so Teresa's standing too. So look, here's our winter people. And Gordon lived there, he knows. All right, y'all sit down. If you're a spring, if spring is your favorite season, you're a spring person, stand up. Yeah, only about six of you. All right, seven of you. All right. If you're a summer person, stand up. You only have one season, Teresa. Here's our summer folks. All right, y'all can be seated. And if fall was your season, that's your favorite season. Wow. Look at this. So you see the diversity in our own lives, that we each like something different. The one thing I've learned by going to Florida so much recently and seeing my daughter is there, of course, we're always going to summer. I realize that most time because Ashley's out of school, but there's no seasons really in Florida. And I would hate to have, I mean, here's the thing with me. I enjoy all the seasons. You know, I enjoy breaking out the hoodies and the boggins. You know, I got my Chewbacca boggin from Star Wars I wear sometimes. I got a Carolina toboggan. I got my Home Alone toboggan, as Melanie calls it, I wear it. She hates. She tells me it's going to disappear one day, but I love that toboggan. Anyway, I love breaking out the toboggans and the hoodies and, you know, the little boots and stuff. That's cool, right? I love that. And then you have spring come and you start dressing a little bit different. I like that. And then summer, you got the flip-flops and shorts. That's a great season, you know. So each thing has its perks. Well, God is in all those seasons. Do we believe God's over the winter, fall, spring, and summer? Of course he is. So he's over all of your seasons. And we could define it this way. We have people like Maverick. Come here for a minute. Stand right here. Now, here's Maverick. He's in one season, okay? Holy Ghost power. Dee, come on up. She's in the next season. So she's in another season. Let's pick Rodney. Come up here. Sorry, brother. You in the third season compared to these two. And then Brother Gale, come up here. At Gale's age, praise God, he's still in a season. Hallelujah. Now look at these four seasons represented here. You know, we've got spring. Let's just for example, spring, summer, fall, and the cold of winter, brother. The cold of winter. But this is our lives. And see, what Brother Gale's going through, you may think, okay, Brother Gale is, do you mind telling your age? 86. He is 86 years old. Isn't he doing great? He still works all the time. He's the one we were moving 2 years ago. And me and my dad got the U-Haul stuck in our driveway. The backhoe went to the pavement. I mean, because I live on a hill, and we backed it up, and that back end went to the pavement. And you know who I called to help me? I told my dad, so I'm going to get Gail. Dad says, what can he do? I said, Gail can fix it. Notice I didn't call the summer. I didn't call the spring, and I didn't call the fall. I called the winter. And winter saved me. God has a purpose. See what Gail's needs are. You may think, okay, he's 86 years old. He's lived his life. And in the natural, he's lived most of his life in the natural. But Gail, you got storms, don't you, brother, and problems? And you have struggles and needs you need met in your life?
I'm a spiritual individual with human tendencies.
Yes, and that's all of us. Now, Gail is not married and doesn't have any kids that live around here, and he didn't have that family struggle, okay? So, but he still got problems. Rodney, on the other hand, has a wife and four daughters, still raising all of them, still in the home. So you got struggles, right, and challenges. That's different. And he may look at Gail and say, you know what, Gail? I wish, man, you ain't got no kids to worry about, no wife to worry about, man. You just take care of you. And Gail's looking at Rodney saying, oh, to be fall again. To go back 40 years and be fall again. Then we have Dee, who's summer. You're 30 now, right? You're welcome. She's 30. Look, that's still so young. Don't be ashamed of that. 30. Oh, you're 32. Oh, wow, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. You are getting a little better. I'm like, 32. She's summer. She's got her own challenges. She's raising two. Whereas Rodney's kids are older. Your youngest one's how old now? The youngest. 13. The youngest is 13. The oldest is 19, 20. She's got two little kids. So her struggle is different. Her season is different than what Rodney's even is, and definitely what Gail's is. And then we got Maverick. How old are you? Six?
Seven.
Turn around. Watch. Look at them. Show me your pretty eyes. 7 years old. Now, Maverick, do you sometimes have problems in your life? Do you have things that make you sometimes sad or upset? Y'all better being 7 years old. Being seven's real. The struggle's real, ain't it? Each season is different. And God is in Gail's season, helping him with his needs. He's in Rodney's season. He's in D season, and he's definitely a little Maverick season. And each one of these people God has a purpose for and a plan. And they're all different. And what don't relate to Rodney may not relate to him, not to him, relate to her. But all of it's equally important to God. Because we were all this age one time. We were all this age one time. We were all this age one time. And nobody's reached this age yet. But if you hang around long enough, you're on the way. Thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to give a visual of how seasons are really different. And spiritually speaking, we have seasons and we have battles. Let's get into some scripture this morning, Ecclesiastes 3. This is Melanie. I call it the Melanie chapter. If anything happens to me, there's no doubt she will absolutely use this verse at my funeral. I'm not going to read the whole book, just a couple chapters out of here, Ecclesiastes 3:1. To everything, there is a season. To everything. That's exactly right. Everything. You may think, why isn't God moving right now? I've been praying for 1 year, 2 years, 6 months, 5 years. It's not happened. It's because it's not the right season. We want to put God in. We want God to be in our season on our terms, where it should be. God, I want to be in your season on your terms. Put me, God, where you want me to be, because you already know the outcome. I don't. And speaking of that, I want to announce this before I forget it. We are doing a funeral here tomorrow at the church at 2 o'clock. And I text the ones that know this person, I think, but in case you may know him, we are doing a funeral. Dale Lou Allen. Lou Allen's how you pronounce that, right? Or Lou Ellen. Lou Allen. Dale Lou Allen passed away. If any of you know him, the service will be here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. He'll be visitation at 1 o'clock. He'll be buried here at the church. But Dale Lou Allen passed away of cancer, 60 years old. He went down in about a year. I mean, he just, it was really fast. And but he told me this before he passed away. I asked him, I said, I know he hadn't been married very long, and, you know, he had to quit working. And I said, I know life don't seem very fair right now. And he looked at me, and he says, you know what? He says, how can I judge if it's fair or not? I've not seen the final outcome. How deep is that? Well, he's got the final outcome now. And so what I think about for our lives is sometimes we say, God, this isn't fair. Why am I going through it? And we've all done it. If you've ever raised kids, I guarantee you, unless you were me or Melanie, because we were the perfect kids growing up. I mean, we really were pretty close. But unless you were me or Melanie and you have raised kids, I bet you've thought that a time or two, this ain't fair. Why am I going through this? Why, God, I've raised them right. I've tried to teach them right, love them. It's not fair. This shouldn't happen to me. This shouldn't happen in my home, in my life. We think that. But we don't know the final outcome. God's got a purpose, and God's got a reason. And there is a reason for every season, whether we see it or not. And so what we got to learn to do is trust God when we can't see him, when we can't feel him, when we don't know what he's going to do, when we can't feel him moving. God, I'm going to trust you anyway, because you've got my life. And you're the greatest hands I ever want to be put in. I trust you more than any of the hands I could ever place my life in. And I trust you. To everything, there's a season. A time to every purpose under the heaven. Every purpose. I look back at my life and see how God's opened doors that I never realized he would open until they got here. And I'm like, wow. I look back now, God, I see where that was going then. I didn't know it, but now I see where it was going looking back. And I'm so thankful that God's season is the right season. Because what happens, if we're out of season with God, we make mistakes. And we make missteps. And it's not the greatest plan God has for us. I understand that we have self-will. We make our own decisions. There's decisions we make, you know, you can't blame God for. You go rob a store and get caught and go to jail. Oh, God, why didn't I get away? I mean, really? You know, you made a decision to do that. So I believe in consequences. But I also believe even in consequences, like Joseph's life, where he was thrown in prison for doing nothing wrong. That seemed pretty unfair. God, I'm sitting here 2 years in jail for resisting a woman that was trying to come on to me. And I did the right thing and says, no, I can't sleep with you. And I get falsely accused and charged and put in jail, and I'm here 2 years. That seems really unfair. But God had everything planned. During that two-year season, he was preparing Joseph for his time. We all have a time to fulfill a plan and a purpose God has for us. So don't get discouraged this morning if it's not happened yet. It's not happened yet because it's not the right season for it to happen in your life. So you keep on trusting. There's nothing like rest. There's nothing better than being able to rest in a situation. Go to the next verse. This is the same chapter, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. His time. You know, I look back at how this ministry started and how I never went out to be a pastor. I was happy doing what I was doing at my home church. Thought I'd be doing it the rest of my life. But God had a different plan. And he put the Karinas and the Von Seals and the people in my life at the right time that began to press me to preach so they could hear me preach. And it was really weird how that happened. I wasn't advertising. I wasn't doing nothing. But God had me in the right season at the right time. I left Food Line in 1998 and embarked with a new job opportunity. It was hard to leave. I've been there 10 and a half years. I knew what I had. They always said the grass ain't green on the side, you know, so you think about that. And I had to fight to get that job at Walmart. I had to fight for it to get the job I wanted. I had to keep pressing my DM for the position. I wasn't going to settle for anything less than what I wanted. And I kept pressing. I got that position. And then I remember saying, you know, when I trained in Statesville, they send you away and they would build a new Mooresville store. I said, I'm going to go down there. And my DM told me, you'll never get to Mooresville. You're a new co-manager, 28 years old. It's a high-volume store. You won't get it. I called DM. He interviewed me. Called me a few days later. I got the job at Mooresville. God kept me there. It was all part of God's plan for my life. When I went to Walmart, I didn't envision this. This was just empty, wooded land. That wasn't on my agenda. I was happy to be a co-manager at Walmart. That's all I cared about. And I remember, and I'll be honest, I told Mel, she remembers that it took me 2 years to acclimate to Walmart. 2 years before I felt really like I made the right decision because it was so different when I was used to. So for the first 2 years, I still was a little unsettled, and I just didn't have the joy I had at Food Line. But after the second year, something kicked in, and then things began to happen. And then here we are today, all part of God's timing. My little school bus passed by this land all those years, taking me to North Idaho High School. Well, up till about 11th grade, I started driving. Me and Boo used to carpool and stuff. But anyway, but I went by this land on the school bus coming home, going back to school. And this land was sitting here. Can you imagine every time I went by this land, Gordon, God just, you know, I'm at the window in the bus seat, you know, going by the land, and God's going, if you only knew, son, if you only knew. You driving, you know, if you only knew. If you're on a school bus today, but if you only knew what this land's going to be. God's got a purpose to everything. And I love this next part. He hath set the world. That word world actually means eternity, if you translate it. He hath set eternity in their heart, so no man can find out the work that God maketh. Eternity. You know what that means? That God put eternity mindedness in us. That we have far beyond this earth. That we know that there's a longing and a desire for more than this. And he put that in man's heart. That's why every person goes on a what they call a sabbatical religious thing to try to find out what the next thing is. If they don't find Jesus or know Jesus or believe in Jesus or whatever, they go on these journeys trying to figure out there's something more. So I'll go to the Buddhist temple, find out what's next. I'll go to this and find out what's next. I'll go talk to this philosopher and find out what's next. I'll go to this person and find out what's next. Because in our hearts, I think all of us are born with this. That we know there's more than this. That's why we are always seeking something. We don't just lay in the ground the rest of our lives and have no knowledge of anything. We are built and formed for an eternal residence with God. We are eternal. From the time we're born, there is no expiration date on our soul. Our body may fall away, but our soul is not stamped with do not exist anymore. We keep on living. We keep on breathing. We keep on moving in the next place God has. He has set eternity in our hearts. I love that part. Go to the next scripture. From beginning to the end, of course. This is how the Amplified now. It uses Psalms 139, now the Amplified, verse 13. You did form my inward parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. Now, it's no surprise to tell you that I am absolutely a pro-life person. It's not a political statement. It's a spiritual statement. I am a pro-life person. I believe in the sanctity of life. And I heard somebody put it the best I ever heard it before. If someone declares you dead when your heart stops, why aren't you declared alive when it begins? Trudy was dead, right? She was gone. Everybody was saying she's gone. So if her heart stopping means she's dead, why is her heart starting not mean she's alive? So we, in the womb of our mother, don't care what anyone wants to say or what the agenda they want to push, I'm going by what God says. Look what he says. I formed you in the inward parts, your mother's womb. When you were carrying Maverick, D, he was no less your child inside your womb than he was at day one out of your womb, was he? He was just as real to you. That's my boy in there. I can feel him kicking and moving. I can feel the pain of him forming inside of me. I can feel the life. I can feel the kick. When I go to the doctor and they put that jelly stuff on you, you hear the heartbeat. And it's going, you know, 200 miles an hour. We get yells like that ain't good. But Maverick's age, that's good. You know, it beats real fast when you're little. And you can hear that heartbeat. And D's like, I got a baby boy inside of me. It's real. It's alive. And you had that. Now, we're old school. They got new stuff now. You can about see their eye color and their, how many teeth they got inside that thing. But me and Melanie's day, it was real blurry. And you see a little white dot on the screen. And the little white dot flashing was the heartbeat. You can see a little white dot. Kind of, we had the Atari 2600 version. Y'all have got the new PS5 or 4, whatever the latest one is. And so a little white heart just flashing. And like, that's the heartbeat of our child. It's alive. And it's well. God prepared you in this season in your mother's womb for life. And he already had a plan for you. He already knew you'd be here. He already knew the day you would come in the world. He already, because he's got all foreknowledge of the before and all knowledge ever after. And I know we can't comprehend that because our mind isn't like God. But God has all knowledge. He formed you in your mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearfully and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth, wonderful are your works that my inner self knows right well. You are created by God, and you are a beautiful creation in his sight. No matter how you look, you were created by the hand of God. He took the seed of man to form the flesh you're in today. He took that. He took something that he created. Think about how a seed comes into this with hands and arms and legs and fingers and eyes and ears. We can hear, we can smell, we can taste, we can see, we can walk, we can talk, all the stuff we can do. God created that. We can rest that if God created me and God's hand was in me in my mother's womb, he ain't gonna leave me when I come out. He was there when I was in the womb. He called me by name. My mother only had me because the Holy Spirit moved upon her womb to birth me into this land. That's how it happens. I know the biology of it, of course. But I realize that biology or science without God is powerless. I absolutely believe in science. I'm not a moron. And I believe in science. But I know there's a scientist that's over the science. There's a designer over the design. There's a creator over the creation. And so nothing just forms and nothing just happens. So if God called my name in my mother's womb way back in 1985 and formed me, that's probably not the year I was born, I'm just saying that. The year that I formed me and called my name and his hand was on me there and I came out. And at 8 months old, I became sick with double bronchitis, pneumonia. I was in one of them oxygen tents for a while, fighting for my life. But see, God already formed my inward parts. God already took care of that. The deal was done in the womb. The project was assembled there. It was all put together and formed already. And it was whole and it was right. So God healed me of that, raised me up. And here I am today by the hand of God with a purpose and a plan my whole life. I've said this before. God brought Bill into my life at age 13 from the state of Michigan to middle school where I was going. And from the very first time he got there, within a day or two of me meeting, we met pretty soon when he got there. God formed a friendship that's lasted for over 30 years. Why did Bill's family, his mom and dad, moved from Buchanan, Michigan to Statesville, North Carolina? Well, because his dad got transferred from the company up there to the company down here. It used to be Clark Industry. Remember Clark? Now it's Doosan or something. Okay, well, it's because he got transferred, Pastor. Okay, well, why was he working at Clark to begin with? Because God seen he'd be working at Clark in Statesville because James David Lewis needed a good friend. That's why it happened. I'm telling you. So if you really backtrack how things are, we can always say, well, he got transferred. Well, yeah, but why did he get transferred? And why did he go to Clark to start with? And why did he, you know, And then why did, and Bill didn't have to come to North Iredell. Why didn't he move in the West District? I would never met him. The South District, inside of city limits. He'd been a Greyhound. I never would have saw him. No, Bill's family bought a house about a mile and a half from where I lived. Is that not crazy? I never thought I'd have a Yank for a best friend. Just the way it worked. Oh, God had a purpose in my life. And I hope my friend feels the same way. But I know how I feel. Next verse. Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm getting a witness back there from the child. That's great. All excited. That's baby talk for preach it, Pastor Jane. That's what it's for saying. Verse 15. Look at this. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret. Mom couldn't see what was happening inside of her womb. God was doing. See, this is very, I think, revealing of how God is today. I got a revelation to share with you here. Think about this. Mom could not see what God was really doing inside of her womb. But yet we want to see everything now God's doing. Mom had to trust that God's hand was doing the right thing in the right moment. We can't always see what God is doing because sometimes he does it in secret. But inside that dark womb that we can't see, God is secretly positioning his plan to come to pass in the right season. So I trust him. Though I can't see you, God, I'm going to trust you. Though I can't hear your voice, I'm going to trust you because I know what your word says. And by faith, I believe that. In secret, I was being formed intricately and curiously wrought as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth, a region of darkness and mystery. You know, for some folks, they don't want to know what they're having until they're born, right? You got the option of knowing boy, girl. And now a lot of people don't want to know. And we found, Christian, we did not find out, right? The other two we did. So with Christian, we didn't know what we were going to have. You know, we didn't want to know. Is it a boy? You know, they did all the little tests, right? The pencil on the string of your belly. If it goes this way, it's a boy. If it goes that way, it's a girl. You did all that stuff, superstitious stuff you do. The way you carry, if it's low, it's a boy. High, it's a girl. All that stuff. You know, we didn't know until Christian came. You got a little girl. God in secret was forming that life. And we really had nothing to do with it. Not really. I understand our part in the play. But it took God breathing life upon that seed for it to come to life. Because as we know, there are some women that cannot have children, and that breath is never blown on their seed. And so Melanie, the breath of God blew on Melanie's womb, and we had Christian in secret, in mystery. What's it going to be? Didn't know. Now, Rodney, with your girls, did you find out, or the last one's a surprise? He was hanging all the way. He had three girls. The last one, I think he was not trying to jinx himself. You know, the first three I found out, it's all three girls. So maybe if I don't find out, it'll be a boy. Remember he came down the hall that time holding her. It's a girl. But you know what? That is the plan of God for their lives. It's the plan of God to have four girls. My grandma had four girls. No guys. You know? Some had the boy girl, some had the all girls, some have all boys, but you got to trust it's God's plan. Next verse. I love this, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book, God's book, all the days of my life were written before they even took shape. Think about that. In other words, as Bill's being born in that hospital, and actually Bill was born in Indiana, is that correct? Were you born in Indiana? Is that Michigan or Indiana? Okay. He's right close to the border. So he is born in little Niles, Michigan. And God said, okay, here's the plan for Bill Fuller's life. He'll stay here so long. He'll move to Statesville, go to this school. He'll graduate high school, go to this job. He'll work this job in this position, then go to that position, go to that position. Then this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. This is saying that God has already planned out our lives. You know what I'm going to start doing? Resting in his plan for my life and trusting him. How many times do we drive ourselves crazy trying to push a round peg into a square hole, and that's not the will of God? It doesn't work. Our prayer should be, God, whatever your desire for my life is what I want to do. And it may not be what we want to do. I did not want to leave my job back in 2002. I did not have a desire three whenever I left. I did not want to really leave my job, but that wasn't what God wanted me to do. So we trust God in his purpose and his plan because our days are already written. When as yet there was none of them. All right. Next verse. We know this verse, Jeremiah 29:11. Once again, it's out of the Amplified. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, and to give you hope in your final outcome. See, God sees the finished work. We don't. God already sees the final piece of our lives. He sees the finish line. He knows the day we're going to leave the earth. He knows when our trumpet's going to sound for us. He knows what we're going to do when we grow up. He knows who we're going to marry, how many kids we're going to have. He knows our health schedule coming up. He knows everything about us. He knew the day my hairs would fall off my head. He knew the days I would need bifocals. He knows all of those days. They are numbered. So God, if you took so much time to form me in my mother's womb, if you took so much time and so much detail that in the secret darkness of the womb, God, you are forming me, and you said that you have all my days planned out, and that your plans for me are great, and that your purpose for me is that I have a good final outcome, what in the heck am I worried about? What do I fear? God, you've got me. You formed me. You've got plans for me. And I trust your plans. Like your parents told you as children, trust me. Why can't I go, Mommy? Trust me. Why can't I go to their house? Trust me. Just there's things that we don't always tell our children because they don't need to know everything. And so we say, look, there's things I know that you don't need to know, but you've got to trust me that I'm doing this for your benefit. That's what God is saying. Trust me, Chris. Trust me, Randy. Trust me, D. Just trust me. I got this. I'm good. And if you just will rest in what I prepared for you, it'll all work out. We spend so much turmoil, so much stress trying to fix things that guess what? Maybe don't need to be fixed. I mean, sometimes we're trying to fix things that maybe in the time are supposed to be broken because God is preparing that brokenness in our lives and doing something with it to get us fixed his way, not our way. Now, we don't like all the seasons we go through. I'm sure if there was a magic genie here and went to Gail back there and says, the genie said, Mr. Gail, for $100, I can roll back 30 years, give you 30 years of good health. For $100, I can roll your life back to 66 or 56. Just $100, Mr. Genie? $100. But you know what? Gail was in the season he's supposed to be in, whether he likes it or not. We're in the season we're supposed to be in, whether we like it or not. Whatever that season is. But I can trust that God's going to get me through that season when it seems so hard. Because I know raising kids for Shannon and now for Chris and Carrie raising another kid and for Dee, for all of you that have small kids you're raising, it's challenging. And you're like, my God, does it ever get better? And it really don't. Until they're grown and move away. Then it gets kind of good. But it's like, God. But you know what? God knows the season you're supposed to be in, and he's there in that season with you. Next scripture. We're going to close out with this. This is Philippians 4, and this is Paul speaking, and I love what Paul says here. Now, what's the context of what Paul's talking about really is finances, but this is applied really to anything in our lives. Paul was collecting money from, you know, to do his ministry work, and there was times he had plenty, times he didn't. But this applies to all parts of our lives. Look what he says in Philippians 4:11. This is back in the King James Version. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. We're not that way at all. We really are never seem to be content in the state that we're in. We're wanting more. We're wanting something different. Instead of saying, God, you know what? You know, me and Melly are at the age, which is sad to say. I mean, we still go a lot. We do. We like doing things. I'm more of a goer than Melly. But we're at the stage of our lives now. We actually, did I dare say it, like being at home. Man, that sounds old. We like sometimes just hanging out. Sometimes on Saturday, Mel's like, you know what? I just want to hang out at the house today. Let's not do anything. I just want to chill here, watch a movie, just, you know, just lay around, just enjoy my day here at home. So that's fine. I say, okay, baby, see you. But we do enjoy being at home. As you grow, you realize what's really important. And I think you start thinking about things like, you know what? I need to be content in what I'm in because I may not be in that state tomorrow. I can walk today. I can see today. I can raise my arms today. I've got my wife today. I've got all three of my children today. But no one knows what tomorrow brings. So God, every day that I live, I'll be content with the state that I'm in and thankful and happy. Next verse. I actually want to read this part out of the Amplified. I got my Amplified right here. I don't like wearing these reading glasses, but it's the state I'm in. Verse 12. For I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. We all know that, right? We can enjoy plenty and abundance. That's not a problem. But I like what he says here. I have learned in any and all circumstances. Any and all circumstances I've learned. Whether well-fed or going hungry, having sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. I've learned in every circumstance, in every need, to be content. Because God's in my life. And God's in my season. I think one thing that we've been misled with is we think God is a magic genie that is at the will of our whims. And I do believe that we declare the word. I believe in laying on of hands to pray for people. I believe that we, you know, speak the word of God into our lives. I'm not saying any of that. But I also have learned as a Christian and as a minister, I have learned, God, you really are in control of everything. And I trust you with that. I don't have to agree with you. You know how some folks will shake my hand at the back door, hey, Pastor, enjoyed the service. I didn't agree with everything, but I still love you. Okay, it's fine. I feel that way with God sometimes. Hey, God, love you, Lord. But I don't always agree with what's happening right now in my life. I don't think it's fair. I don't understand it. I don't see it. I don't agree with it. How much more peace, Gordon, could we live in life to be content with the season we're in? Just say, you know what? Yeah. We struggle. Because sometimes we think we should be in a different place, and God got us right where he wants us. Joseph didn't deserve to be in prison, but God had him where he wanted him. Daniel didn't deserve to be in a lion's den. Do you know why Daniel was in a lion's den? Does everybody know why he got put in a lion's den? He was praying. If praying does that, psh, count me out. Lord, I love you, but I ain't about to pray to you. I mean, really? Daniel's on his hands and knees, the Bible says, facing out the window toward Jerusalem. He is faithfully praying, and they catch him. Ooh, not in adultery. Not stealing. They catch old Daniel praying. And they went back to King. We caught Daniel praying, King. You know what your word says? They're not praying to your gods. He's praying to that old God Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh. What you going to do? I got to throw him. And they took Daniel, threw him in a lion's den with man-eating lions for praying. I'm sure that's not the season Daniel saw himself in. I mean, God, really, I thought, I was praying to you. I mean, you're supposed to protect me and keep me. You throw me with man-eating lions? Are you serious? We see this.
We see Stephen, and I want to use an example, the apostle Stephen. Remember, he was stoned to death for his faith. Now, good Lord, you walking girl. It was a power walker. We see Stephen, who was an apostle, who was stoned to death. And what I mean, they literally took rocks and beat him. And Paul was standing there, Saul at that time, was standing right there when he died. And Stephen was stoned to death just for his faith. He was a godly man, the Bible says, a virtuous man. And he was stoned to death for his faith. But you know what I love? What Stephen said? As he was dying, he said, I saw the heavens opened up. Saw Jesus standing on the right-hand side of the Father. God did not forsake him in his season. He got a glimpse of glory still on the earth of where he was going. Now, I know it don't seem fair that Stephen got stoned for his death. But look where he ended up, his final outcome. It's like Dale passing away. This cancer just took him out so quickly. You know, it was no fun going through that season, that weakness, that pain, that, I mean, it was terrible. But look at his final outcome. No more pain, no more sickness, no more disease. Each season births us to the next season. I got a joke I used to tell my parents sometimes. I say, y'all are old. You're just closer to home. It's a good way of putting that, right? You're not old. You're just closer to home. Gail, you're not old, brother. You're just closer to home. Of course, who knows? God may outlive all of us. Be 109 coming up in here. We are in a season that we're supposed to be in. And Paul realized, whatever season I'm in, I'm going to be content. And here's why. This is the anchor of all of this. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The Amplified talks about that my sufficiency is based on Christ's sufficiency. Think about that. You know, a true man, I'm talking about a true man, a true straight man, whose name is John, and he's a straight man, okay? Their role is to protect and be the rock for their wife. Or it should be. Which means that when Melanie is weak, emotionally weak, I mean, spiritually weak, just drained, that what I do as a husband is I say, figure it out, love you, see you later. No, I don't do that. I go to her and I try to be the shoulder she leans on. I try to absolve that pain best I can. Try to help carry the burden, and try to give her strength through my reinforcing of my love and care for her. That's what Christ does for us. We have to realize our strength is not on our own, because I don't care who we are, we get weak. Nobody would have thought that, I mean, none of us would have thought, people that are close to him may have, but none of us would have thought Robin Williams would have took his own life. Happiest guy in the world. Laughed, joked, smiled everywhere he went. But he had pain he was carrying. He had so much pain that he couldn't let go of it to the point that he took his life. We can be strong all we want, but there's a time that all of us need someone else's strength. And that strength comes from God. I can't fight this, Lord. I can't carry this. I'm tired. I'm tired of being there. And some of you are these people. There's two types of people. There's the ones that are there for everybody, and there's ones that are there for nobody. And there's some in the middle that are there when they want to be, and they pick and choose who they're there for. But if you're one of those people that are there for everybody, you're the strong one, you get tired, don't you, Melanie, of carrying it? Tired. I'm tired of being the one that's there for my family. I'm tired of being the one that if I mess up, ooh, I'm so bad, but if they mess up, it's not even mentioned. I'm tired of that. I'm tired, God, of carrying all the burdens of finances. I'm tired of carrying the burdens of being a husband, of being a father. I'm tired of the workload. I'm tired of not having any time for me. And I don't care what any of you men say. Us men need time to ourselves as well. We hear about women having to have their time, and we know that y'all need it too, but men also need time to themselves. It's important that we have time to process and to recharge and to get away from it all. Because we carry a lot. Once again, I'm talking about a real man. Carries a lot. And so I thank God as a pastor, as a father, as a husband, that I've got the strength of God to help me. Because I'm telling you, as my shirt says, I've got to have him. Because I can't stay calm on my own. And I can't have peace on my own. And I can't have joy on my own. And I can't have direction on my own. I've got to have him. God has a purpose and a plan for your season. Whatever season you're in today, trust that. And say, God, today I'm giving you everything. I'm going to walk in this season starting today resting. Don't have to like it. See, Melanie don't like winter at all. She's a whiny baby on winter. I mean, she whines and she whines when it gets cold. But you know what? God's got her through every winter of her life. And God sustains her. God gives her portable heaters, sleeping blankets, heating blankets. Her husband will snuggle up to at night. Heating blankets, I mean. Yeah, not well, that too. But heating blankets. God has provided for her what she needs to stay warm. Though she hates the winter, hates the cold, God provided a way for her to stay warm. So just because you hate where you're at don't mean God ain't providing where you're at. And God ain't meeting your need where you're at. Come on up, Marjorie. Get something ready to play. We all got struggles. We all got problems. And all of us are in a different season. And right now the little one is in a season of rest, it looks like. I done lulled him to sleep. Some of you adults need to wake up, but I understand him falling asleep. I mean, her. What'd I say? I meant her. I know it's a girl. I don't know why I said him. I'm sorry. I know it's a her. No, I was talking about, I think I was looking at him, why I probably said him. Her. And these young men are so attentive. All of our kids have been really attentive in service. I'm really pleased with that. They really are good and listening. That's awesome. These two were. It's awesome. They were singing, Randy, in worship. That's great, brother. See your kids singing. Let's stand together, if you would, today. And I just I want to pray a prayer with the congregation this morning. And what I wanted to pray is that whatever season you're in, that God will bring you today a peace and a rest and a comfort to walk through the season you're in today until we get you to the next season. Father, we ask right now in your name that you pour upon our hearts a newfound peace and a trust to rest in the season and the purposes you have for us right now. We have many questions, God, that have no answers. We have many things that we don't know what to do about, God. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But we do know that because you live, I can face tomorrow. We do know that, God. We know that you will not leave us. You will not forsake us. But you are with us to the end of the world. God, for every person in here, from the small child to the person in their 80s, sweep over this sanctuary with your presence and give each one of us the rest and the assurance to know that we are where you want us to be. And we will take comfort in that. And we will trust that, and we will celebrate that, and we will have joy right now in the season we're in because you put us here, and you make no mistakes, God, of your placement of our lives. You make no mistakes in the purpose you have designed for us. You make no mistakes in how you made us, how you created us, and how you formed us. We are your perfected plan of creation. We are, God, and we're called by your name, and we are redeemed, and we are forgiven. We are sanctified and justified and glorified by your holy work. And I pray for peace in our season, God, as we worship you right now, that you will flood our souls with the reassurance that everything is going to be all right because you are with us in the secret dark place of the womb, and you'll be with us to call our name when the trumpet sounds. You are Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And you are forever and always our God and our Savior. And we praise you for that. In the name of Jesus, we give you worship right now and praise for being our Lord. Amen.